Hello and welcome, everyone, once again. It's time to talk some sports at such long last here on the Walnut Sports Network weekly podcast. Don't forget, you can check us out on X, formerly known as Twitter, at WSN Weekly, or go to walnutsportsnetwork.com and find us there. Newly revamped website. Shop coming. Shop is down, but it's coming back stronger and cheaper. And that's what we like. Cheaper for us and cheaper for you.
Oh, yeah.
So, with that aside, let's get down to it. My name is Jason. This over here, we got Paulie and Ben and Brandon here this week.
How's it going, everyone?
How's it going, everybody?
I'm back.
Yay! Brandon, you're back. All right. So how are we doing? How are we doing this week? We got everybody pretty happy with their team's NFL free agency moves in so far. Paulie, how are you feeling?
I am definitely excited. Kind of surprised that the Packers made the moves that they did.
Yeah. But,
very, very happy about it.
Mm-hmm. Ben, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling good so far. I mean, there's some bittersweets there. What's going to happen, you know, around this time. But I feel pretty good so far about what's happening. We'll get into that pretty soon. So.
Oh, yeah, just around the corner. Brandon, I know your Steelers making some moves. You feeling pretty good about it so far?
Oh, yeah. Coming cheap, coming good. I like it.
That's the way we like it, good and cheap. So let's get into the details. These are going to be our headlines for this.
Jason, how did you feel? You had a couple big losses on your defense.
Some ups and downs.
Yeah, I'm just kind of I'm just happy to be here. You know?
Sounds like a true champion. Let's move on.
I was just actually, and I'll get this out of the way right away. I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. I'm just so tired of the same thing every single year with the Dolphins and just signing, like letting guys go that you're like, really? And then signing guys that make you go, really? And then going 7-2 in the first 9 games and then going, you know, 1-6 in the last 7 games. And just getting into the playoffs, just barely above 500 and getting housed. Yeah, I just, every year it's the same thing. And I'm just getting tired, which is kind of refreshing to see what the Packers are doing. So let's get into the actual meat of some of these. We'll get into the local stuff a little bit first here. The running back situation has changed in Green Bay. For those not aware, our Jesus Christ, you guys got me talking like you.
The you Packers. Can jump on and jump off or whatever.
The Packers
Okay, Chicago Cubs, Jason.
The Packers have parted ways with longtime running back and fan favorite Aaron Jones. Letting him go, he's going to be a Minnesota Viking, so he'll be back to the stadium at least once next year. But to cover the gap, picking up Josh Jacobs from the Las Vegas Raiders, former rushing yard title holder. We'll start with you, Ben. Where are you at on this running back situation now with the Green Bay Packers?
Well, I mean, it was just kind of really quick overall. It was just nuts how many running backs have gone so far in the last 36 hours, you know, been talked about going places. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, it was a little bittersweet for me. I thought Aaron Jones did come on very strong at the end of the year, and he's just a good leader in that locker room. So we're going to miss that part of it. But,
he's former man of the year. Like,
yeah, exactly. So that part we're going to miss, that really – I don't know if you can really have filled those – that part of the locker room. But he is injury-prone, so I understand them going younger. You know, I just keep going younger and younger, right? So, yeah, Josh Jacobs, if he can repeat what he did in 2022, You know, like that's what we're looking for, obviously, and I'm hoping that he can do pretty much that. Because if he can, you know, even rush for, let's say, 1,200 yards and receive for 500, he is going to just crush it. And I'm hoping that's, you know, he'll be healthy enough, stay healthy, and kind of resurrect what he started. So, what did you feel about the running back situation there, Polly, the other Packer fan?
It's bittersweet.
Oh no.
I knew that they had released him. I did not know that he had signed with Minnesota. That must have just happened today.
Yeah,
yes, that was today. Okay. This morning.
Yeah, I haven't seen any news about today, but the bringing in Josh Jacobs, 24 years old, hopefully some tread left on the tire. I'm not a huge fan of paying the 4 years, $48 million, but I understand that running backs have to make their money when they can, and contracts can always be restructured down the road. I think it's a great deal. I think he's going to be a great fit with this young offense, this talented offense, but very young, and he brings a little bit of leadership in that aspect. So I loved it. I thought we'll get to the other signing in a minute, but Jason, how did you feel about the whole running back situation overall? Because there was some
In the NFL in general?
Yes.
Oh man, there's
some pretty nice deals out there.
There's basically all the high end, if you can name a running back there on a new team. And that's the one thing I would take away at like first blush here is all these running backs, they're with new teams. None of them got re-signed, right? Saquon Barkley goes to the Eagles. Josh Jacobs goes to the Packers. Derrick Henry is a Raven now.
I wanted to talk about that for a minute, because how did the NFL let him go to the Ravens? He is an absolute perfect fit with that team. He's going to be, if he's got anything left, he's going to be scary good on that team.
Brandon, how do you feel about that with your division rival there picking up the diminisher?
King. It's a little scary, but our defensive front's not scared of him. We've stuffed them under 100 yards multiple times. Maybe it'll make Lamar throw the ball and we can all expose him for the real quarterback he is.
Sounds like a true Steeler fan.
That's
fuck
great.
Those MVPs, yeah. The playoffs. Yeah, I get it.
No, he's great. He's great. Yeah. He's a great running back. He really is.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So,
I mean, they only had 4 years as their career, so I mean, he should be. He's almost done, so it should be.
Yeah, the Ravens now have the two best running backs in the league.
Yeah,
it's true.
The run option is going to be strong in Baltimore, I'll tell you that.
but continuing down the list, Tony Pollard signs with the Titans.
Which doesn't make any
Austin
sense.
Eckler goes to the Commanders. Yeah, I'm not sure why he didn't re-sign with Dallas, but okay. What Eckler, you had a thought about that, it sounds like, Jason?
What's that? Oh, me?
Austin Eckler?
Well, I just, the whole thing, why would anybody want to go to Washington? Like, it's so obvious he did it for money, because he was the big voice last year. It was like, give me more money. Running backs don't get enough money. Now I'm going to go to this crappy franchise and just take the money. Why would anyone ever sign with Washington? I don't know. They're just the worst.
Yeah, there.
That's just how I feel about it.
But again, like, I feel like, you know, Tony Pollard going to the Titans. I mean, does anyone want to go vacation in Tennessee for 3 years? I don't, because that's what you're going to be doing. You're not going to be winning games. Mm. I mean, that team is going to take years to build up. Like, the AFC, the South of the NFL, NFC South, AFC South, are pretty piss poor lately, so. It just doesn't matter with some of these teams. Like you said, every running back is like everywhere. It's nuts. But like, there's like teams too, or like, you know, the teams have done nothing, or they've had so many picks or had so many like transactions. Like this morning, I turned on SportsCenter when I woke up, to, you know, before work, and I had it on, and they're like, breaking news. I'm like, oh shit, what happened now? Like another big free agency thing. Sam Darnold goes to the Vikings. I'm like, this is the breaking news. Vikings fans must be pissed. So like, yeah.
Should we get into the quarterbacks?
I think we can, because I don't know. I mean, we pretty much hit all the big names in the
category. You kind of missed one, in my opinion.
Oh, wait, okay. Who is it? You might as well just throw it out there.
I really like the Texans signing Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon?
Mm-hmm. Okay. They're trading for him, technically, but.
Yeah, trades for him on the 13th when it becomes official. Yeah, okay, yeah. That's a step up for the Texans for sure.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I think that team's going to be very good next year, personally.
I like that team and where it's headed. So I agree. I think that's a great signing for them.
Yeah, that's, and it's easy to overlook that one because everybody's watching free agency trackers, right? And that was actually a trade. So it's, you don't really see it come up. But yeah, Joe Mixon, maybe it's because of Joe Burrow, and like maybe because like outside of that one year where they went to the Super Bowl, they were kind of languishing, the Bengals have, that Joe Mixon seems like he's going under the radar, but that dude can ball, man. Like,
good receiving back, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. All right, so yeah, let's get on to these quarterbacks. Brandon,
let's start.
You
with
got him. Steelers pick up Russell Wilson. What are you? Where are you at with that? Are you happy, or are you afraid he's washed up?
Well, if you look at his last year's stats, I believe he still finished top 10 in quarterbacks according to touchdowns, interceptions, passer rating. I could be a little off on that, but I'm pretty sure he was top 10. We got him for, I don't know, it was maybe
pennies.
$3 million.
No, not even
no,
1 year,
$1.2 million or something. Yeah, it's nothing.
There you go.
League minimum.
There.
Yeah. Well, because that's the whole thing, is the Broncos were picking up that $40 million.
Yep. So, and
well, $39 million.
Sorry, 39. Yeah.
The Pittsburgh helped out with that $1 million. So
I think I like his style in Pittsburgh. I think he fits pretty well the way they like to run their offense, I think. And I think he'll bring some nice leadership for the younger quarterbacks over there, maybe.
Yeah, they just picked up Mitchell, I love big titties, Trubisky, which is nice to back him up. At least, I mean, I know he's Mitch Trubisky. I know. But, like, he's a pretty solid backup, man. Like,
he's not there anymore.
Yeah, he's in Buffalo. I don't
know.
No,
that's, sorry. That's right. I was thinking the other way around. Yeah, he was in Pittsburgh, and he went to Buffalo. Sorry, my mistake. Yes. Well, they got rid of Mitch Trubisky. That's too bad. Mason Rudolph's still available. They can re-sign him if they want. They could snag Josh Dobbs again if they're – feel like they,
yeah, I think they're gonna
desperate.
Put Kenny Pickett on the bench and hopefully learn a thing or two and we'll maybe come back to that, but he's on thin ice, I think.
I would think so.
Oh yeah,
Ryan Tannehill's available.
Yeah,
I mean, Kenny Pickett just needs to start doing Roethlisberger stuff, crashing your motorcycles and all that other stuff, and then he should be able to just kick ass out there, but he's doing it the wrong way.
But yeah, we needed a quarterback. I think it'll help a lot.
Oh yeah, I mean, that was basically a ready-made team, and they just couldn't get like any consistency out of the offense.
You got an upgrade.
Yep,
that's all you needed.
Yep, I like a lot of our, I like our backfield, I like our receivers, so I think we're going to beef that offensive line up in the draft and both make a run.
Hell yeah. Ben, Paul, how do you feel about, are you shaking in your boots from Sam Mononucleosis Darnold?
No,
signing to the Minnesota Vikings.
Who gets four chances? Seriously. I mean, they're going to draft someone in, you know, in the draft, some kind of quarterback, I have a feeling. But still, like, no, like, Minnesota, like, you guys are just devolving on offense. Like, and you're not – I just don't – I mean, I guess Cousins left for that money. But Jesus Christ, like, it's bad out there. No, Sam Darnold, like, oh, my God. No.
Dude,
no, Sam, no.
You're damn right. Sorry. Go ahead, Paulie.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, honestly, I thought Minnesota was going to be the one to bring in Ryan Tannehill. I think that would have been better fit. I think he's a bit better player.
There's Justin Fields out there, and his stock keeps dropping.
He is in Washington, I believe, no.
Justin Fields?
Pretty sure.
That happened today? Damn, I must have missed that one.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's official, but that's what I don't know if it's official or not, but I'm pretty sure that's what the rumors are.
Really? Interesting.
Oh, here's one that says he's reportedly being close to traded to the Raiders.
Okay. Well, it's all over the place with that guy.
Who knows?
Yeah. For every website that does little blotters, they have a different team. One of them says he's going to have to be a backup somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that multiple times. He was supposed to be a Steeler. He was supposed to be a Falcon. He's supposed to be, you know, everywhere.
Backing up Gardner Minshew in,
in Oakland.
In Las Vegas.
Sorry, Vegas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of Atlanta, they're just giving out money. Kirk Cousins signs for 4 years, $180
million.
Dude. $100
million guaranteed. He's going to be 36 years old.
I was just going to say he turns 36 right before the season starts. He's going to be – I mean,
yeah,
hey, absolutely. Your make your paper, dude. Nobody's made paper better than Kirk MF and Cousins, dude.
Oh, my God, no.
I heard something. Yeah. I think it was they were talking about it on Dan Patrick this morning. He's made, if he plays out this entire contract, he'll have made $400 million in his NFL career.
Jeez.
That is just stupid. That's Kirk Cousins, man. Kirk Cousins. We're not even talking about like Tom Brady or something, like some real big like marketing haul. No. Kirk Cousins.
Who is that guy's agent? That's what
I'm... He's not under the Boris.
He deserves a raise, whoever it is.
Unless it's Scott Boris, then he deserves nothing. But that is insane.
It's Mike McCartney. I had to look that up.
Oh,
apparently Mike McCartney is his agent. So Google that guy and find out what he does. Because if Kirk Cousins made $400 million, that means that agent's probably made $40 million. Yeah, $40 million just for representing Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, we are in the wrong line of business.
Yeah.
Wow. The more I think about it, the more baffled I am.
That is an incredible stat. Yeah.
Like any way you slice it. I mean, good for the Falcons. Really, they're another one of those teams that's like a decent quarterback away from actually being a good team. So Kirk Cousins, if nothing else, is a decent quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Straight down the middle quarterback.
Yep.
Well, he will get to battle Baker Mayfield for at least 3 years, who re-signed with the Buccaneers after resurrecting his career last year.
For the year, let's be honest. We'll see what happens this year.
It's like,
we'll see. Yeah, he's still getting paid no matter what.
Yep.
But it's the Buccaneers, and they're desperate. And no one wants to go there. I mean, I'm glad Mike Evans signed there because I thought for sure he was going to leave, but.
I thought he was going to Kansas City.
Yeah, anywhere. But, yeah, he stayed and Baker's there. So that's pretty much the two teams in the South. So
yeah.
Because the Panthers went the exact opposite way. So,
yeah. Oh,
there's
my God.
There's nothing to even talk about them. You know, there's it's just horrible.
I saw this thing. Oh, I wish I would have saved it. It was a tweet. I think it was from Jay Kuda. I can't say for sure. But they basically outlined the last three major trades that the Panthers did. It was the McCaffrey trade, this Brian Burns trade, and then one other one. And it was like what they gave up and what they got. And like they basically just like didn't get anything.
Well, that's the thing though. The Burns trade, they already had number one offers on him earlier, is what I've been hearing. Like they already had those and they got a 2 and 5 for him. Like what happened to the ones? Like people were giving ones, you know, like multiple teams were giving a first round pick and then went to 2 and 5. The manager there is just horrendous. What are they doing?
It's another one of those situations of an owner who like one of those owners who hangs out on the field, talks to the player. Yeah. I mean, it's like
he got fined for throwing a beer at the fans because the fans were screaming out of the box how shitty he was last year as a team and an owner, you know, like. So that's that shows you just the character of that whole franchise right now. Which if you're Bryce Young, you got to get the hell out of there, and you can't. Unfortunately, I mean,
ask Justin Fields. It only takes 3 seasons for a team to ruin your career.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a lot of NFL free agency going on. Particularly with those, it's just one of those years. There's so many high-end running backs. Like the top 5 running backs in the league are all free agents. This is wicked. So I mean, and you even lose out. Like, oh, Michael Pittman re-signed with the Colts. T. Higgins got franchise tagged. Like, you don't see these because it's.
He did ask for a trade though.
Yeah, so he's getting out of there. So. Yeah.
Which I mean, he's got. Dude, his franchise tag gives him 1 year. At $21 million, man, to be the number 2 to Jamar Chase, and that's not good enough. Get out of here, dude.
I guess not. Well, don't be mad. Don't be mad when he's in a Miami uniform. I don't want to hear you bitching about
him. Miami does not need him. Chase Claypool or whoever it was is a fine number 3. It's. So what's T. Higgins going to do?
When he wants to play, though, Jason.
He's not going to play in Miami.
No, I'm saying Claypool won't either. He likes to take days off all the time. So you need 2 number 3s, and they're slide them in there.
Well, when you put it like that,
see,
maybe 1 year at $20 million is totally worth it.
Maybe. Maybe.
Oh man, but yeah, not a lot of other headlining. Most of the other guys, like the high end, or should say, headlining names at the positions, all re-signed. You know, like Dalton Schultz, Hunter Henry, I re-signed at tight end. Lineman, I mean lineman. If you can name me 5 linemen. Christian Wilkins did go over to the Raiders, which sucks.
Yeah, Van Ginkle went to the Vikings. You had a lot of weird, like, but again, you got Shaq. He's coming there. Mm-hmm. That ain't a bad pickup.
No, they'll be all right. And I think they still have Bradley Chubb, and the Dolphins do. So, like, I think their defense will be okay. They just need to. They had a lot of injuries down the stretch, and like their bench didn't really play that well. Anyway, that's a lot of NFL free agents. Any we missed?
I wanted to bring up two. Chris Jones re-signed with the Chiefs, 5 years, $158 million. That's a big piece of their team. I mean, obviously their defense, but their team overall. And then the Packers signed
Xavier
McKinney.
Yeah.
I loved that move for them.
Oh yeah. That was another 24-year-old safety, bring him in. Has been really good over the last couple of years. Yeah, it was a good signing too. Mm-hmm. Again, going younger.
Yeah, and they basically didn't have one. So they need to
Darnell
pick this guy up.
Left, and he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing anymore. He was on the down end, so
They'll draft another one, and they should be good then.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna draft two, but
Brandon, 11
picks maybe.
Anything you're looking to for the Steelers to snag off the market before the draft here?
They picked up the linebacker from Baltimore, Queen.
Yeah, Patrick Queen is a huge yes.
Which we were very light in the linebacker position, and I thought it was a good signing. He's been a solid stud. And we shipped out a receiver, actually. Deontay Johnson is in Carolina now.
Mm-hmm. You got Dante Jackson right at the corner for him.
Yeah.
I did not see that. But
yep. And then they also released Allen Robinson as well. But, I mean, he's like...
There's a reason.
He's on a new team every year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not crying about that.
All right.
Other than that, not really.
Yeah. Seahawks got rid of Jamal Adams. Maybe somebody will pick him up and he can start taking heads off again. But, yeah. Lots still to happen in the NFL, despite all that has already happened. So, here's to hoping your favorite team picks up your favorite players. And here's to hoping your favorite team isn't Washington, because it's a shit franchise.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, with...
You're welcome, Commanders fans. Buy our stuff. Say how great we are. Love, Jason.
I don't take any of it back. So...
No, don't.
So, with the NFL touched and caressed and moved along, let's get into something that went down over this past weekend. We had a UFC 299 go down. Big card, big fights, some KOs, some long matches. Sugar Shane, as Snoop Dogg likes to say, Sugar Sean O'Malley beats Marlon Vera in the main event in a 5-round decision. He kind of just looked like he was controlling the fight the whole time. And then the co-main, Dustin Poirier, knocks out Benoit St. Denis in the second round. Lots of good stuff. Brandon, can you take us through this a little bit? And what are some of the standout moments from this last UFC 299?
Yeah, so, you know, overall, just looking at it, see kind of a mixture of decisions and knockouts, but even the decisions on the main card it was just absolute wars, even fights all up and down the card mostly. But Sugar Sean kind of stole the show from everybody by putting on a massive performance, redeeming his one loss against Chito Marlon Vera, and just really outclassed him. But despite Chito losing, I would say he gained more fans than not from losing. And he has to be probably the most durable man I have ever witnessed step in the ring. He got outstruck 232-89.
Yeah. Ooh, I was watching highlights and I was like, for a while, did he even land? He didn't land anything because he was just getting pummeled. It was nuts.
I think it was the second or third round, he got hit with the most clean knee I've ever seen someone take, and he just blinked at Sean O'Malley like it was nothing. And that, it sounded like somebody hitting baseballs in a batting cage. That's how clean it was, and he just survived. He survived, and starting in the fourth and fifth round, he was starting to come back a little. I think Sean gassed himself out from hitting him so much. But overall, Sean O'Malley, performance of Mike Bonus, masterpiece. But in my opinion, that did not overshadow Dustin Poirier's fight against St. Denis. That he got a standing ovation after that knockout. It was kind of a beautiful thing. It's kind of a coming of ages, a young, Saint Denis is a young killer, ex-special forces in France, 100% finish rate going into this fight undefeated, Dustin Poirier, 35 years old, and weathered the storm for two rounds, was kind of getting beat up pretty bad by Saint Denis and ended up getting the knockout and doing what he does best and holding strong like his nickname, the Diamond. It was really exciting. It was a good card overall, I got to say.
Yeah, we were watching some of the one of the prelims after a shift and all that. Watched Macy Barber win her fight. I have actually two. Well, I have one question that's kind of just like a dumb question.
Sure.
Some of these fights are three rounds and some are five. Why?
Okay. So usually only championship or main event fights are five rounds. But since Dustin Poirier kind of was giving this young guy a bone, and, you know, he had a lot of risk. If he lost to this young guy, he probably puts himself out of a title contention and probably arguably into retirement almost if he would have lost that fight. And so I think he requested it to be five rounds kind of as a favor to him because he kind of just benefits from that as a fighter.
Okay.
His style. It was a weird, it's usually not that way if it's not for a title in a co-main event, but this was just a special case, I guess.
Gotcha. Okay. Understood. Yeah, and I guess the next question I'd have is something a little more sports talky. So Sean O'Malley's killing it. He's 18-1. Mm-hmm. He's styling with his hair. He's memeing with his fucking TikTok. And he's a slight dude at 135. He's pretty slight. He could probably put some weight on that frame. Do you think he moves up to try to fight, like to move up a weight class and fight somebody else? Is there anybody up there?
He called him out after his fight.
Really?
He wants to move up to fight that. The weight class above him, who is Ilya Topuria. I think that would be the dumbest move of his career.
So you're saying he's going to do it?
Yeah. No, I doubt it. The UFC will not allow that. Yeah. Ilya Topuria just won his belt. He hasn't even defended it yet.
Yeah.
And okay. Then this was Sean O'Malley's first title defense. You got to work in your division and give those guys a chance. And once you clear out your division, we'll talk about fighting for multiple belts. But
okay. Yeah.
Makes sense.
But I think Ilya Topuria wrecks him, personally. I really do.
I mean, O'Malley's a good striker. And like I said, he's got he's slight on his frame. So it looks like he could put on the weight. But would that slow him down, you know?
For his last fight for the title, he was more muscular and did put on a lot of muscle mass. So he can definitely fill out. And he could definitely succeed in 145. And I think we will see him up there one day. But I don't think it's time right now. I think he's the real deal. I think he proved that the hype is right. And he should just clear out his division. And he's got a fight. He's got a worthy contender right now. And he needs to take care of that business before anything else.
Yeah, and he's a young guy. He's only 19 fights in. There's plenty of time for him to, like you say, clear out the division. And
yeah, and at his age, having 19 fights is actually kind of incredible. It's a lot for his age, I think.
All right. Now, going back to Dustin Poirier, it looks like he's third in lightweight. Charles Oliveira, is the reigning champion.
Nope.
Are we going to... Or sorry, Islam Maham, he's the... Sorry. Charles Oliveira is the top contender. Islam Makhachev is the title holder. Sorry, I'm still sort of getting used to all these terminologies.
Yep, my apologies.
So how many, I mean, is Poirier going to have to win a couple more fights before he gets a shot at Islam? Like, because he's already 38 fights in, like 40 fights is a number. That's a number you don't see a lot of these guys hit. Like,
no.
So how long does he have until, you know, will he get his title shot before he's done?
I personally think he gets the next title shot. Justin Gaethje is up there as well for a title shot, but he is fighting in UFC 300 against Max Holloway. And then Charles Oliveira also fights on that card. So they're kind of tied up. And Islam is waiting. He needs to fight soon. And Dustin is the talk of the town. He just won in spectacular fashion. He fought Islam's training partner, Khabib. Have you ever heard of him?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Of course. So
there's a great story there, and I think they're going to give Dustin that fight. And you could maybe see him retire if he loses that, I think. Because if he loses that title fight, it's going to be really tough. Really tough to get in that spot again.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. He's expressed that he's only interested in big fights. And I just don't see a lot of those left for him at his age and the way the division is moving. So, yeah. But big Dustin fan. I hope the best for him. I will be cheering for the Louisiana native to get that done.
Hell yeah. Now, you just mentioned Justin Gaethje. Is that how you say
yep.
it? He's fighting Max Holloway. Now, Holloway, is he moving up to fight?
Yeah, this fight makes zero sense for both guys. And I think the UFC panicked because they have UFC 300, you know, and they're trying to make it this big name thing. And I think they just paid those two guys to just
slug it out.
Take this fight. They're both game. And they're for the BMF title. It's fake. It's not really mean.
Is it the bad motherfucker title? Are you serious?
Yes.
No kidding.
God damn it.
Yep.
Well, you learn something new every day.
I think it's going to be an amazing fight. I think you will see one of the two probably be changed forever. I think it's going to be kind of a bloodbath. And I'm scared for Max Holloway's life, I'll be honest. Justin Gaethje hits like a Mack truck, and
yeah, I like I'm to report a murder, basically.
Yeah, well, Holloway likes to punch.
He's a volume puncher.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Where Gaethje is, I'm going to touch you and you go night-night. So the two styles will be fun to watch, but yeah, I don't know. It's weird because Max would be, if he didn't have this fight, he'd be probably fighting Ilya Topuria for that belt. And if Gaethje wasn't taking this fight, he would be probably in line to fight for the lightweight belt. So it just doesn't make sense from a business side or career side, but I'm excited for the fight overall, though, so... Should be a good one.
Hell yeah.
Cool. All
right. Well, that's a pretty good rundown of UFC 299. And you mentioned UFC 300 coming up. Let me just see if I can get to that.
Now, is 300 on the moon? Like, where are they having this? It's 300. So we can't have it in Saudi Arabia or Vegas, something like that. You got to write the moon?
Yeah, well, no, I think they're just going to take the cheap route and stay in Vegas. Yeah, right, freaking lame, right. You know?
It is, but, I mean, someday. Maybe 400, yeah. We'll get to the moon.
They're making their moves. They're going to be coming to Africa and China, I bet you.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
I did have one question for you, Brandon. On the women's side, is there any... anything that's standing out to you? Any big fights coming up on the women's side?
Any big games in the WNBA?
Well, Wally?
You got your answer.
Women's college is having its moment right now, but...
Yeah, no, they're hurting. Yeah, I'll just leave it at that. There's not much going on. I guess the biggest thing you could say is they have a fight on 300. Holly Holm is fighting on 300 against PFL's old champion. I can't think of her name off the top of my head. My point exactly. But, yeah, they got some work to do, but they got some rising stars. It's just... They're kind of working through the ranks, and it's just a weird stagnant time ever since Amanda Nunes retired. So,
got it.
Yeah,
yeah. There's just like they don't have the
star power.
Exactly. Thank you. They don't have anything right now. It's like back when the NBA didn't have LeBron yet,
mm-hmm.
and no one cared. It's like that. Like there's just nothing, and like UFC was kind of like that for a long time too. Yep. Nowadays they're you know, the growth of the quote process is starting to bear fruit, but hasn't translated to the women. Well, it did translate to the women's side. They just don't have any stars right now. Like, and like you say, Holly Holm is somebody people might have heard of, or maybe even like a Misha Tate, but like they're not title holders right now. They're
no. The lady that Holly Holm is fighting is, her name is Kayla Harrison, and she, if she wins and gets the title, she will be the next women's star and will put a lot of life into that side of the UFC. So that should be, keep an eye on that, but right now it's pretty stagnant.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's all I had. So I think all you right. covered it. You covered it pretty good, Brandon.
Yeah,
like always. Thanks for coming.
You guys want to put any input on the rumors of Mike Tyson boxing Jake Paul?
Well, I just set my reminder on Netflix for today, so I remember to watch it, because that's going to be, it's going to be a shit show. I think it's going to be amazing to watch, because it's going to, you know, it's 57-year-old Mike Tyson. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. And it's, he can still fucking punch.
Dude, Mike Tyson gets, that right hook is as deadly as it's ever been, man. Like, don't even, Mike Tyson's going to kill that kid. On Netflix. It's gonna be awesome.
I hope he comes in mean and gritty for his legacy. I
hope he has a half an ear dangling from his mouth when he walks.
I will not
be able you want this, motherfucker? It's gonna be great.
I will not be able to stand if he loses you.
Well, then it's just rigged. That's all it is. It's straight boxing. It's all rigged then if he loses.
Is it? He's 60 years old.
Yeah. Brandon, I think you were the one who was talking to me about this. Like, it's a lose-lose situation for Jake Paul. Like, if he wins, cool, you beat up a 60-year-old man. If he loses, oh, dude, you got beat up by a 60-year-old man. Like, there's no one's going to care. Like, the fact that he's Mike Tyson isn't going to weigh that heavily on how people feel towards Jake Paul after this fight. Like, people like us, maybe, but, like, we're not the majority. Look at his, I mean, the people who, like, are interested in Jake Paul think of Mike Tyson as that guy from that cartoon where he had pigeons. You know,
The Hangover.
In The Hangover. They don't.
The Hangover movie. That's what they think of.
They
it as.
Barely remember the, like, unrepentant sexual assaultists, like, fastballs for fists guy from the 80s and 90s that we remember. You know? So it's just. Oh, man.
He's I remember my, man my friend's now, dad but... would
Yeah, well, he's a totally different man now. Absolutely, yes.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, back then, my friend's dad would buy those fights, and he would get so fucking pissed because it'd be like, someone would be 30 seconds. Like, I paid $180 for that. I'm like, you know what's going to happen, man. Like, he's done this, like, by this time, 10 times in a row. Like, quit paying for these. Yeah. You know, but, yeah, he's not going to be like that. But, yeah, it is a lose-lose, for sure.
How about boxing as a sport? How dead is boxing? That is the biggest
It's the deadest thing ever. Yeah, it's the deadest thing of all time.
Mm-hmm. And it's been dying for decades. When I was a kid, it was
crazy. Oh, God, yeah.
You got all these big stars, and they just won't fight each other. Bunch of just sallies, in my opinion. Get over it.
Getting huge paydays, they won't fucking do it.
Fight each other.
Yeah. Just, that's what your whole job is.
Well, anyway, it's like an hole.
It's like an edge job, like, you know. Yeah, never mind. I don't want to keep
Look at Anthony Joshua. He probably made $30 million this year fighting Francis Ngannou, who he knocked out in 2 rounds.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, I'll take that. I'm not going to go fight Tyson Fury or no one actually good, but. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, boxing's dead for right now. It's just dead.
And that's a shame. I'm like one of those people who would like have Friday night fights on in the background while I was working and stuff like that back in the day. So that makes me sad. I was never like super into it, but like I always liked watching it.
If it was on, I'd pay attention. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's been a healthy talk of sports. We've had NFL free agency popping off with all these sexy moves. UFC,
plenty more to come.
Oh yeah, plenty more to come. And then the raw, visceral ferocity of the UFC all in there. So I guess that's it for a week of sports. We'll be back next week talking March Madness, Selection Sunday. We'll have a little NBA in there. We'll just do all basketball so that everybody who listens will be fully up on their March Madness.
On their bracket.
And speaking of the bracket, we've got something fun for you guys on our next episode, so stay tuned to that.
Absolutely. It's always fun and special. And don't forget, after you listen, while you're anxiously waiting for the next episode, check out the website, walnutsportsnetwork.com, or hit us up on Twitter with your questions, comments, or concerns for our well-being at @WSNWeekly. So with that all done and said, thank you for tuning in, everybody. We love you very much. And you have a good night.
Have a great night, guys.
That was great, Paul. Take care, everybody.
West Side, have a good night.